Drive Time on RT Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When it comes to pensions, performance counts. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
The Defence Force's 124th Infantry Battalion has 379 troops in Lebanon at present, operating in a UNIFIL mission. As Middle East tensions are heightened with the Israeli attacks on Lebanon, the Iranian attacks on Israel and the continuing war on Gaza. The Irish UNIFIL Force's area of operations borders Israel and has been the location of incoming airstrikes from Israel and outgoing rocket and missile attacks from Hezbollah in recent months. Well, we're joined now by Lieutenant General Sean Clancy, the Chief of Staff with the Irish Defence Forces. And you're very welcome, Sean, to the programme this evening. I suppose, firstly, and what everyone really wants to know is to get an update on the safety and the position of the Irish personnel in Lebanon at the moment.
Good evening, Sarah, and thank you for allowing me to speak with you this evening. Over the last 24 hours, I think we all can acknowledge there's been considerable kinetic activity in the area of the Irish area of operations in particular. But troops on the ground are doing an extraordinary job in most difficult of circumstances. I think this generation of Irish soldiers are showing tremendous resilience and commitment, as have previous generations over their time in the Lebanon. Their morale is generally good. They're keeping safe and secure in their locations. All of the Irish members of 124 Battalion and our UNSO members and those in Sector West and in the Kura in the UNIFIL headquarters are all safe and well, I'm happy to report. I've spoken directly with the battalion commander this morning, with a senior Irish officer, and they regularly update me with regards to the situation on the ground. And obviously our operations here in Defence Headquarters in Ireland keep a very close watch and an hourly, if not more regular, updates from our battalion on the ground, which is part, of course, of the UNIFIL multinational force on behalf of the UN that exists in South Lebanon at this time.
And in terms of significant activity, has there been fighting going on around that base?
Well, I suppose what we've seen over the last while is a lot of air and artillery attacks coming from both sides. So we have counterattack and attack and counterattack from both sides. But more specifically, last night we did observe and report on incursions, limited incursions that happened in the vicinity of our 652 post in particular. Our role there really at this time, given the heightened risk levels that are there, the kinetic activity, and I suppose the breaches of the cessation that we have had since 2006, our role is really to try and observe and factually report what is happening on the ground. And that, of course, requires the posts to be on the blue line itself, which is the designated line between Israel and Lebanon. And we do that very accurately. We do it in an unbiased way. And I suppose, in a sense, for your listeners, UNIFIL at this point in time are the eyes and ears of what is actually happening on the ground in Lebanon. It is the global view, if you will. We have an awful lot of course, instantaneous information that happens as a consequence of modern communications. But of course, they need necessarily be totally accurate in terms of what is going on. And that's why it's important that the UNIFIL and the UN and the world understands the information that is provided by the people that are on the ground. And I'm happy to say that Ireland is doing that through its defence forces in the most professional way, being led by with great leadership, showing great resilience. And and that is what's happening on the ground. Of course, that brings a heightened level of risk. And I understand the stress that brings on not only on our troops, but on those that their loved ones here at home, their families, their colleagues, and their parents and their wider friends and families. So I'm very conscious of that. And, therefore, the force protection and how we mitigate the risks as that grow, as that risk begins to grow is of most importance to not only me, but I know that the Taoiseach, who I communicate regularly, if not hourly, but practically every day and every evening with regards to updates. He's very engaged with me in terms of the oversight of what is the ongoing process at the moment and what is developing on an hourly basis. And we keep this foremost in our discussions and in our planning here at headquarters levels with regards to force protection and the mitigation of of risks to our troops in 124 in particular.
And how can you mitigate those risks then when you have Israeli forces passing within view of some of the outposts, according to reporting by Mark Coughlin on Primetime this afternoon? How do you mitigate that risk?
We shelter when we have to, and we operate when we can. We've taken many force protection mitigations over the last number of months. For example, we've reinforced our bunkers and shelters. We've hardened observation points within the camps. We've upgraded our sustainability in terms of rations, food, reinforced communications. And we, of course, have half our armour fleet out there at this point in time.
But I suppose we've seen in the last year in Gaza that UN staff, aid workers, journalists, you know, all wearing clearly marked clothing or in vans, which should have marked them as people who should be protected, haven't been protected. So I suppose that's where the concern might happen, that, you know, they might get in the way of something.
Yeah, and that is the risk, which is growing, as I say. But UNIFIL is a very established force. It's there since 1978. There is no excuse for not knowing, acknowledging, or avoiding any impact or conflicts directly, direct onto any UN posts or positions. Of course, you cannot mitigate completely the possibilities of inadvertent impacts that are not intended, but that is a different, I suppose, equation. The force commander is very clear in terms of holding our positions on the blue line to enable us to do this. It would mirror our own assessment because, in fact, movement at this point in time to any other locations or out of the south of Lebanon border would inherently bring risk in itself.
So would it be more dangerous, in your view, at this point to move than to stay?
Well, at this point in time, with the way this is evolving, we're clear in our assessment that in the dynamic environment that we have, that movement would bring additional risk. As I said, we will move when we're able to do so, and when we can, we will do so in order to carry out our operations, which we're mandated to do. But in the meantime, we'll shelter when it's appropriate. And we're not sheltering all of the time, but when it's appropriate and when the activity is observed, we do shelter. And that's what's really important. And these are the mitigations and the drills, as I said, as well as the higher level communications. And we have a senior Irish officer directly engaged in leading that liaison between the various actors in this case. Okay. And that's very important.
And news just coming to us just at this moment that 7 IDF soldiers have been killed during combat in Lebanon, which I'm sure highlights the extreme danger of the situation and the escalation of the situation in Lebanon at the moment. Israel is vowing revenge. Would you have a concern, Sean, that this might just get out of control and the Irish troops might be stuck?
Well, you know, Sarah, this is a very heightened, escalated environment right now. Casualties in that type of risk environment happen. Of course, I have concerns around this. And there has to be a cessation of the violence. De-escalation is the only way forward. And I think our own Taoiseach and the Tánaiste himself has said it in terms of this will have to come to a political diplomacy resolution in time. And when that environment does come about, and we can recall back to 2006, it took about 34 days, in fact, I think, before that those circumstances and that conditions were met in order for a diplomatic resolution to come about. That will inevitably have to happen here. And then it's when the UNIFIL force will be most needed. Its role right now is to be able to do those things like be the eyes and ears of the world in Lebanon. And I of course, am concerned. It would be a natural, but I'm more concerned for the outcome for the Lebanese people and for the outcome for this breach of the cessation that has been in place since 2006. The Lebanon, if you will, up to the 7th of October last year, southern Lebanon was one of the most stable and safe areas in the Middle East. And that was and UNIFIL in no small way played its part in achieving that outcome for that period of time. And it is my hope, and I think in the longer term, it will be the outcome that will return to that level. But in the very current dynamic, it's very unpredictable. And we have to maintain our vigilance, okay, our awareness, and be completely focused on the protection of our people. Because, as you say, to movement and movement is a higher risk action than staying put at this point in time.
In addition to the observation duties, what about community outreach? Has that ceased now at this point?
Well, no, not entirely. In fact, in speaking to the battalion commander this morning, we were discussing his communications with the mayors of the local communities and the areas around their AO, and discussing their plans of trying to bring those civilians that can't perhaps afford to leave or aren't able to leave southern Lebanon, bringing them together in larger urban areas and centralising them to make them more secure. And just talking to mayors through those plans, and ultimately that eventually perhaps finding a way to move those people north. The Lebanese Red Cross is also in communication with them through the battalion commander, and they're quite active and proactive in the area. But of course, once this environment and a war zone as it is developing into becomes more and more difficult to achieve anything in that while there's a kinetic activity in place.
Mm.
And that's why the de-escalation has to happen.
Are you sheltering any of those civilians? Is that something that you could do or would do or have done?
We have done that, yes, but it's not on the horizon, on the immediate horizon. Really, that's down to the force commander to make a decision in extremis of whether that's appropriate. And it comes in a graduated form, as you can imagine. It comes from providing facilities external to the camps and ultimately in the absolute extremis, bringing them into the camps. But that has its risk also.
The Israeli government have been justifying the attack on Lebanon by saying Hezbollah rockets have been fired from all across southern Lebanon into northern Israel, which of course forced 60,000 Israeli citizens in the north to flee. What's the role of UNIFIL with regard to Hezbollah incursions along the Blue Line?
Well, of course, the UNIFIL is positioned in the Lebanon, not in Israel, and therefore those incursions would occur into Israel itself. I know the LAF, for instance, the Lebanese Armed Forces, have withdrawn from the Blue Line back to a certain level. As I said, the force commander in his assessment is continuing to uphold a mandate by staying on the Blue Line, an assessment we agree with in terms of its clearly marked and designated positions.
Yeah, and I do understand that once the Hezbollah incursions go into Israel, that is outside of your jurisdiction, so to speak. But in terms of the rockets being fired from southern Lebanon into northern Israel, that is a breach, surely.
Yes, but that is not something that's unprecedented. It's not something that has happened in the last couple of days, Sarah. That's been happening irregularly, if you like, in a kind of an attack and on a counterattack basis over a long period, but in particular since the 7th of October of 23 occurred. And that has been observed multiple times, and that continues. But what we've seen over the last few days is a real escalation in terms of the cessation that was agreed in 2006 and where the Blue Line is being breached. And that brings about its own complications to that cessation that was agreed at that time. Mm. And that's something I think the diplomatic and political will have to consider in due course.
Just finally on the position of the troops and whether or not they might ever leave or be asked to leave at the moment. Who will make that decision if the decision does come that they should be moved?
Well, ultimately, that's the UN Security Council. Will that decision, is my understanding, would have to be made at that level. There is a very, very strong solidarity amongst troop contributing countries at the moment that despite the significant challenges to remain in situ. As I said, the longer term view would be that UNIFIL will be needed more than ever once a diplomatic resolution has been entered into in this space. Can I say something on the family just for a minute? Would that be okay, Sarah?
Sure, of course.
If you don't mind, just I do want to say how grateful I am for their support and the understanding of the families of our soldiers that are in the Lebanon at this time. You know, on a very human factor, I can understand the anxiety and distress that the pictures they're seeing on television and the information that they have. Communications are difficult right now with our loved ones because, as you can appreciate, in times of conflict of this nature, communications do suffer as a consequence. And that, in fact, I suppose, impacts greater on the actual stress and anxiety. Mm. But I'm so grateful for their support. And I know that there's that those that are serving abroad at the moment are very grateful. We wouldn't be able to do what we do. It would simply would not be possible for us to do what we do without the support of those we love.
Lieutenant General, we'll leave it there. And thank you so much for joining us. That is Lieutenant General Sean Clancy. Thank you.